on VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, John Russell has a report on last summer's record-breaking heat in the Northern Hemisphere. Then, Dan Novak and Gina Bennett present this week's education report. Finally, John Russell returns to bring us the lesson of the day. But first, this report. The American artificial intelligence company OpenAI has removed one of its ChatGPT voices. The move came after actor Scarlett Johansson said the voice sounded eerily similar to her voice in the movie Her. In a post Monday on the social media service X, OpenAI said it is working to pause Sky. That is the name of one of five voices that ChatGPT users can choose to speak with in its artificial intelligence chatbot. In a statement, Johansson said that OpenAI CEO Sam Altman had asked her last September if she would lend her voice to the ChatGPT system. Johansson said she declined the offer. Johansson said, "When I heard the released demo, I was shocked, angered, and in disbelief that Mr. Altman would pursue a voice that sounded so eerily similar to mine." She added that her close friends and even the news media could not tell the difference between her voice and the voice of Sky. Johansson said OpenAI agreed to take down the Sky voice after her lawyers asked about the process by which the company came up with the voice. OpenAI said in an online post that the voice of Sky belongs to a different professional actress. But it added that it could not share the name of that actress for privacy reasons. In an email sent to the Associated Press following Johansson's statement Monday, Altman said that OpenAI selected the voice actor behind Sky before any outreach to Johansson. The voice of Sky is not Scarlett Johansson's, and it was never intended to resemble hers, Altman added. OpenAI added voice capabilities to ChatGPT last September. The feature is called Voice Mode. It permits users to have a conversation with the AI assistant. In November, OpenAI announced that the feature would become free for all users with the mobile app. Last week, OpenAI showed off its latest AI model called ChatGPT 4.0. The program lets users speak to the chatbot and get real-time answers. The chatbot now has emotion in its voice and even tries to understand a person's emotional state by looking at a selfie video of their face. The capabilities have brought comparisons to the 2013 movie Her. The film follows a man who falls in love with an AI assistant, which is voiced by Johansson. Altman appeared to make the same comparison. He wrote the word her on the social media service X on the day of GPT-4o's release.
A A recent study found that the summer of 2023 was the hottest in the Northern Hemisphere in more than 2,000 years. When the temperatures increased last year, many weather agencies said it was the hottest month, summer, and year on record. But those records only go back to 1850 because they are based on thermometers, devices used for measuring temperature. Now, however, scientists can look back to year one of the modern Western calendar, and researchers have found no hotter northern summer than that of last year. A study in the scientific publication Nature uses a well-established method and record of more than 10,000 tree rings to calculate summertime temperatures for each year since the year one. No year came even close to last summer's high heat, said the study's lead writer Jan Esper of the Gutenberg Research College in Germany. Before modern times, the hottest summer was in the year 246, Esper said. Esper's paper showed that in the Northern Hemisphere, the summer of 2023 was as much as 1.2 degrees Celsius warmer than the summer of 246. In fact, 25 of the last 28 years have been hotter than that early medieval summer, said study co-writer Max Torbensen. That gives us a good idea of how extreme 2023 is, Esper told the Associated Press. The team used thousands of trees in 15 different places in the Northern Hemisphere, where there was enough data to get a good measure going back to year one, Esper said. There was not quite enough tree data in the Southern Hemisphere to publish, but even the limited data showed something similar, he said. Scientists looked at the rings of yearly tree growth to then give yearly dates to every ring, Torbensen suggested. But outside experts had questions about the study. University of Pennsylvania climate scientist Michael Mann, who was not part of the study, wondered why researchers stopped their look back at year one. Mann suggested other temperature estimates go back more than 20,000 years. He said just using tree rings is considerably less reliable than looking at all sorts of other data, including ice cores, corals, and more. Esper said his new study only uses tree data because it is exact enough to give summer-by-summer temperature estimates, which cannot be done with corals, ice cores, and other data sources. Tree rings are higher resolution, he said. The worldwide temperature records set last summer were so high that it's not surprising they would clearly be the warmest in the past 2,000 years, said Berkeley Earth climate scientist Zeke Hausfather. Hausfather was not part of the study. It's likely the warmest summer in 120,000 years, though we cannot be absolutely sure, he added, because data exact to a year does not go back that far. Because high-resolution yearly data does not go back that far, Esper said it is wrong for scientists and the media to call it the hottest in 120,000 years. 2,000 years is enough, he said. Esper also said the period of 1850 to 1900 that scientists, especially the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, use for the base period before warming may be a bit cooler than the instrumental records show. The instruments back then were more often in the hot sun instead of sheltered from it, as they are now, and tree rings continue to show that it was about 0.2 degrees Celsius cooler than thermometers show. That means there has been a bit more warming from human-caused climate change than most scientists calculate, an issue being examined by researchers over the last few years. I'm John Russell.
Atef al-Buhaisi is a 6-year-old from the Palestinian territory of Gaza. He once dreamed of a career building houses. Now all he wants is to return to school. In Israel's war with Hamas, Atef's home has been bombed, his teacher killed, and his school in Nusayrat made into a refuge for displaced people. He lives in a crowded tent with his family in Deir al-Bala in central Gaza. The war started last October. It was Israel's answer to the Hamas attack on October 7th. The terrorists killed some 1,200 people and took 250 hostages from southern Israel. Since the start of the war, all of Gaza's schools have closed, leaving hundreds of thousands of students like Atef without formal schooling or a safe place to spend their days. Aid groups are working to keep children off the streets and their minds centered on something other than the war. What we've lost most is the future of our children and their education, said Irada Ismail, Atef's grandmother. Houses and walls are rebuilt, money can be earned again, but how do I compensate for his education? Aid groups say about 80% of Gaza's population has been driven from their homes. Much of Gaza is damaged or destroyed, including nearly 90% of school buildings. The Gaza Health Ministry, which is controlled by Hamas, says more than 35,000 Palestinians, including civilians and fighters, have been killed in the war. And the head of the UN World Food Program said a full-blown famine is already underway in the north.
Children are among the most severely affected. The UN estimates some 19,000 children have been orphaned, and nearly a third under the age of 2 face malnutrition. In emergencies, education is less important than safety, health, and sanitation, education experts say. But the effects are lasting. Before the war, Gaza was home to more than 625,000 students and some 20,000 teachers, the UN says. In other conflicts, aid groups can create safe spaces for children in neighboring countries. Poland has been used for shelter and schooling for Ukrainians during the war there, for example. That is not possible in Gaza, a highly populated area locked between the sea, Israel, and Egypt. Since October 7th, Palestinians from Gaza have not been permitted to cross into Israel. Egypt has let a small number of Palestinians leave. Tess Ingram is with the Children and Education Organization, UNICEF. She told the Associated Press, "It's very hard to provide them with certain services, such as mental health and psychosocial support or consistent education and learning." Aid groups hope classes will start by September. But even if a ceasefire deal is reached, much of Gaza must be cleared of mines. And rebuilding schools could take years. In the meantime, aid groups are providing activities like games, drawing, and art. The activities are not a formal education, but provide children with a sense of normalcy. Even then, supporters say, their attention often turns to the war. Atef's grandmother sees him draw pictures only of tents, planes, and missiles. Finding free space is among the biggest difficulties. Some volunteers use the outdoors, do their best inside tents where people live, or find a room in homes still standing. This month, UNICEF had planned to build at least 50 tents for some 6,000 children from preschool to grade 12 to provide some informal schooling. But UNICEF says those plans could be disrupted by Israel's operation there.
Lack of schooling can cause psychological impacts. It disrupts daily life, and combined with conflict, makes children more likely to experience anxiety, said Jesus Miguel Perez Cazorla. He is a mental health expert with the International Committee of the Red Cross. Children in conflicts are also at increased risk of forced labor, sexual violence, trafficking, and recruitment by criminal and armed groups, experts warn. Samantha Nutt is with War Child USA, a group that supports children and families in war zones. She said the children are in danger of being recruited by Hamas and other militant groups. The constant violence makes children believe that they want to take action against the groups they consider responsible, she said. Palestinian parents say they have seen more children on the streets trying to earn money for their families. Some try to find small ways to teach their children. But many say the kids are too distracted with the world around them at war. Sabrine Al-Khatib is a mother whose family was displaced to Deir al-Bala from Gaza City. She said it is especially hard for the many who have seen relatives die. When you speak in front of children, Al-Khatib said, what do you think he is thinking? Will he think about education? Or about himself? How will he die? I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Gina Bennett.
Dan Novak is here now to discuss more about today's education story on Gaza.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Dan, the situation in Gaza is, of course, extremely serious for civilians, especially children. What efforts are being made to continue children's education there?
You're right. As I mentioned in the story, much of Gaza has been destroyed from the war, including 90% of school buildings. In times of war or disaster, education is lower in terms of importance compared to basic needs like shelter, food and water, and safety. But this war has been going on since October, and children that miss school for long periods of time are at risk of falling far behind in their learning. So there have been efforts by some aid groups and other volunteers to provide some informal lessons through games or in other ways.
And finding a safe place to provide schooling is also a problem.
Yes, that's proven to be one of the most difficult things. Like I said, many buildings are damaged or destroyed, and that means makeshift or temporary schools have had to open up, sometimes in tents or rooms in homes still standing.
The psychological or mental effects of war must also affect schooling.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, it's very hard for children to focus on things like math or reading when there's a war going on. Many of these children have seen relatives die. 19,000 children have lost both their parents. So some families and aid groups have tried to provide some amounts of education, but it must be so hard for kids to think about anything else than the war going on right near them.
Thanks so much for joining me, Dan, and thank you for that report.
You're welcome.
In this next report, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins tell us about a new rice-growing method being used in Vietnam. We learn about how the new method can lower labor costs and perhaps help the environment. Pay careful attention to the word alternate. We will talk more about it after the report.
Farmers in Vietnam are growing rice using a new method thought to reduce emissions of methane gas and labor costs. The method is called alternate wetting and drying, or AWD. It uses about 30% less water than traditional ways of growing rice. It also uses small flying vehicles called drones to put nutrients in the soil. Traditional rice farming methods flood fields with water. The water stops oxygen from entering the soil. Low amounts of oxygen permit more methane-producing bacteria to grow. Scientists say methane can trap 80 times more heat in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide over a short period of time. Climate scientists say releasing methane into the atmosphere increases the warming of the Earth. A 2023 United Nations report said rice farming makes up about 8% of all human-made methane in the atmosphere. Vietnam is the world's third largest rice exporter. Boats carry rice up and down the Mekong River, and the grain is an important food in Vietnam.
Vo Van Van is a 60-year-old rice farmer who lives along the Mekong River. For the past 2 years, he has been using the AWD method with support from one of Vietnam's largest rice exporters, the Lok Choi Group. Van said using the drone to add organic fertilizer saves on labor costs. He says it is becoming harder to find people to work on the rice farms because more people are moving to the cities. The drone also puts the exact amount of fertilizer needed. Too much fertilizer causes the soil to release nitrogen gas. Nitrogen also traps heat in the atmosphere. After the harvest, Van does not burn the remains of the rice plants. Instead, the Lok Choi Group collects the extra plant material. It then sells it to other companies. These companies can use the remains to feed livestock and grow mushrooms. Van said the AWD method helps him in several ways. It lowers his costs while the amount of rice he produces is the same. Using organic fertilizer helps him sell for a higher price in European markets. He also has more time to take care of his own garden. "I am growing jackfruit and coconut," he said. Nguyen Duy Thuan is the chief of the Lok Choi Group. He said the AWD method uses 40% less seed and 30% less water. The Lok Choi Group said the method is used on 100 hectares of rice farms. Tuen said the company wants to expand AWD farming to 300,000 hectares. The Vietnamese government aims to grow low-emissions rice on 1 million hectares by 2030. Vietnamese state media reported that officials said the method could reduce production costs by about 20% and increase profits by more than $600 million.
In recent years, the Mekong River's water quality has changed. Dams in China and Laos have reduced water flow. Building projects cause problems because they use a lot of water and sand from the river. And rising sea levels have increased the amount of salt in the river's large delta. A recent study by Vietnam's Water Resources Institute estimates rice farmers lost millions of dollars every year because of salty water. Louis H. Ziska is a professor of environmental health sciences at Columbia University in New York City. He said that using different methods of farming can improve water use. Growing more kinds of rice would also help. Some kinds can better resist hot weather or need less water, Ziska said.
Some rice farmers in Vietnam are already growing different kinds of rice. Nguyen Van Nhe is director of a rice export company. He said growers are using rice that can grow in salty water and in hot weather. He also said the export company is using different methods to dry the rice because of changes in the weather. He said unseasonal rains are making it harder to dry the rice in the sun. As a result, the company has built places to dry it in their factory. The company will also put machines to dry the grain closer to the rice fields. "We don't know which month is the rainy season, like we did before," Nhan said. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Before the report, we asked you to pay careful attention to the word alternate. Can you remember when you heard it? You heard the term used to describe a growing method. Let's listen again.
The method is called alternate wetting and drying, or AWD. It uses about 30% less water than traditional ways of growing rice. It also uses small flying vehicles called drones to put nutrients in the soil.
Alternate can be both a noun or an adjective. In our example, it is acting like an adjective. Alternate means occurring or succeeding by turns. It suggests the idea that something happens for a period and does not happen for the following period. So, we can say that the growing method involves periods of time wetting and periods of time drying. That is why the method is called alternate wetting and drying. We spell alternate like this: A L T E R N A T E. And that's the lesson of the day. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today.
Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan.